pretty on a Friday morning, and another opportunity for us to enter a session of Capital Call brought to you this morning by Phillips 66. And I have our legislative team in the studio this morning. And as a return engagement from last week's session, we'll start off with Travis Dunlap. Good morning, sir.
Okay, good morning, Charlie. Thank you for having us once again.
And
go ahead. No. Last week, the listeners remember I was speaking to you about my adoption bill.
Yes.
And so just a very quick update on that. We're still awaiting the governor's signature on that. And so, as I said last week, if you are amiable to my cause and the cause of so many who want to expand adoption options in Oklahoma, please encourage the governor to sign that. It would be nice to get that done, taken care of very quickly.
She seems to have a rather large stack of yet unsigned bills on her desk, so we'll see.
She does, and I will also mention that the delegation just came from a breakfast that the Washington County Farm Bureau offered. It was hosted, but it also included the Osage County and Nowata County Farm Bureaus, and we had a wonderful time, a great group of people out there. And one of the issues that we talked about, and maybe your listener doesn't quite know this whole story, but there was a big push this year for Senate Bill 1086.
Mm-hmm.
And Senate Bill 1086 would have removed an exemption put into place by a vote of the people back in 2004. And this this exemption is an exemption on the gains that Oklahomans earn in their capital. And
which would include the sale of your home, theoretically.
Sale of your home, the ones that you wouldn't live in, but it would include also increase in your agricultural property, and would include any gains that you might have in stocks that are owned, that are Oklahoma companies. And so that was a big fight this year at the Capitol. I'm not sure how much of it made it out to the voters' awareness, but we had a very good discussion about that at the breakfast this morning, why that was so important to Farm Bureau, and why that exemption needs to remain in place for the continued prosperity and growth of Oklahoma incomes in this state. So it was a wonderful breakfast, and thank you to those who hosted it. And you have to know that if you're a farmer out there or a rancher out there and you're part of the Farm Bureau, that your bureau is doing a good job representing your interest at the state.
Thank you very much, Travis. And Senator, good morning.
Morning, Charlie. Just to follow up on what Representative Dunlap said, and I'm sure then Representative Sears will want to comment on it, the move to try and repeal the exemption on capital gains in Oklahoma slipped through the Senate very quickly and fairly early. I opposed it, not knowing at the time how very important it would be to the agriculture and cattle industry, but simply because I did not want us to remove an exemption put in place by the people and one that tapped people's personal income, always wanting to encourage people to prosper in Oklahoma and reinvest their gains in Oklahoma. But fortunately, when it got over to the House, there were people, one in particular sitting on my right, to help stop it in its tracks. We're talking about 1086.
Yeah, I hear you. And you need to know, the listeners need to know, that you have to have a House author and a Senate author to get a bill on the floor. And the senator that was running this bill did not have a House author, and he got it through the Senate, and I was quite blown away, quite frankly, that it did pass. But anyway, it did. And then so he asked me to do it, and I wanted to be in control of that bill because I had some huge concerns with it. So I agreed to take the bill, making it clear that I had concerns with it. But anyway, he had to have a House author to get it on the floor. And from there, it took a life of its own because there was talk that maybe we could exempt the agricultural part of it. But when you do that, I had constitutional scholars telling me that that would probably be ruled unconstitutional because you can't give one tax favor to one person and not give it to the same person. And that's what it would have done. But it's good for the cattle industry. It's good for the small business person. It's good for family trust. And quite frankly, where we got beat up a lot was there are entrepreneurs and venture capitalists that utilize this, but what you got to understand, it's about investing in Oklahoma, and it's got to be an Oklahoma company. And for you, Charlie, I'm looking right at you. If you want to develop a widget company and you come to me, and I'm a man of means, and I'd say, okay, I'll give you $1 million to start your little business.
Well, thank you very much.
There you go. And who knows, 20 years later, you've got the next Microsoft, and you've made money, I've made money, but again, it's due to my $1 million that launched you. I mean, that's the simple. I'm giving you the simple, but I mean, that's pretty much the concept.
Sure.
And so it's that venture capitalist in Oklahoma. And again, it's all about Oklahoma and Oklahoma companies. And we have strong, I mean, you take Love's and Hobby Lobby and Chesapeake. I mean, you can just go down the list. Devon Industry, Continental Oil. I mean, these are companies that have started here that you'd have to own stock in and that you helped found that, I assure you. Harold Hamm is a man of great wealth, but he just didn't start out that way when he started Continental Oil.
Right.
Okay? All right, enough said on that. But anyway, that bill went nowhere, and I'm very, very proud that it didn't. And, again, it does help the ranchers and the cattlemen in this great state. The only thing I'd like to add, and I'll turn it back over to these two, is I just want to say this is my last radio show. It's been a wonderful experience to serve 12 years on behalf of the people of District 11. I'm excited to be home. I continue to be active in the community. And I won't say state politics, but I will. But, I mean, it's not mean I'm going to run for governor and so on. I'm not making an announcement today. But I will still be involved. But, again, I just want to say a thank you to the people that has listened to this radio show and Phillips 66 for sponsoring it over the years. And, again, to simply say thank you for allowing me the opportunity to represent you in state government.
Thank you very much, sir. And you will be missed regardless of whoever takes your job.
I doubt if he will ride off into the sunset. I want to say, whatever you do, Representative Sears, do not change your cell phone number. I will be calling. You've been a great deal of help to me and, in fact, says he has some things he's going to hand off to me later today in terms of background and good information for me to use. Just a couple things that are going to be on the ballot in November. Of course, we have the so-called medicinal marijuana question, 788 in June. I have some real issues with that. I'm going to do a little Facebook post on that. Certainly favor medicinal marijuana and its use, but not sure that this state question isn't opening a big can of worms statewide. So more on that. But in November, we're going to have an opportunity to approve an Oklahoma Vision Fund, which would allow us in 2020 to start taking 4% of oil and gas tax revenues, gross production tax, and put them in a stabilization fund. And then in 2025, the treasurer would send up to 5% of the principal of that fund to the general revenue fund for the legislature to use in its budgeting process. So what it does is slowly build a fund from oil and gas tax revenues that will help us in the years when the oil and gas industry dip. It's an attempt to sort of level things off. We also have a stabilization fund that was put in place for the budget a couple of years ago. We haven't started tapping monies for that yet. But the point is, instead of spending everything that comes in, put some aside. This is different from the rainy day fund, which, of course, is there for true emergencies. But this would be there to help balance out the budget in times of need. And it's been a while coming, but I think it's a very, very good idea. So that is a state question in November. I don't know its number yet. And another simple one that we will all understand is whether or not we'd like our governor and lieutenant governor to run on a ticket like the president and vice president do. That wouldn't start until 2026, so that the people running for lieutenant governor now could serve a full 8 years if they were reelected. But that's something to consider about whether or not we would like to make that move. And just a little update on another reform, and I'll pass it back to Representative Dunlap. Co-authored a bill last year to begin performance audits of state agencies. That commission is in place, and we have allocated $2 million to them in the budget this year to start their audits. They're ready to go. They've issued their request for proposals. They know the groups that go around nationwide and do these in different states. So hopefully before the end of this year, or certainly early next year, we will have the first of those audits back, and those agencies will be able to start implementing those recommendations. So very excited about that, because that is a reform that should pay us, you know, in terms of savings going forward. And I will let Representative Dunlap take the microphone now.
We are moving through a lot of different issues very quickly. I think you can tell we've all had coffee at that breakfast.
Maybe a couple of cups.
Maybe. Well, I'll add my comments regarding Representative Sears' last show. Representative Sears, please continue to be involved in this community. I know I won't have to say that. I won't have to exhort you too strongly to do that, because it's in your nature. And this community is losing a valuable representative, and I thank you for your years of service at least on this radio show, there's many more things to come.
I think he was smiling at the time, but I'll remind him that several years ago he told me when he runs for Congress he wants me to be his press aide. So, you know,
oh, well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Travis.
So, I will let's go ahead and talk about two more things. These have made the news recently, and because the governor has been signing legislation that has been coming to her. She has a big stack, as you referenced. One of the bills she signed recently was an expansion of the Stand Your Ground law in Oklahoma, and this expansion would simply protect places of worship from being liable if a defense action is needed to be taken within the church building. And so that was a bill that garnered a lot of discussion in the House and was able to get through. It's a very modest change, honestly, but it would do really good thing in making sure that people feel safe when they're in their churches, knowing that they can have those designated perhaps by the church leadership or just those who are take it upon themselves to stand their ground, that the church itself will not be liable. Of course, any time a church gets into a litigation situation, it threatens the church's existence. So this was a very important piece of legislation. I'm pleased the governor signed it. Another one that I'm going to steal from Senator Daniels' notes here is we did two big things with Medicaid this year, and the governor this week signed the bill that would put in work requirements for Medicaid recipients in Oklahoma. And, of course, that is a simple measure. Taxpayers expect their tax dollars to be used well, and so that is something that we want to see in place just so that we continue to guard the taxpayer. The taxpayer wants to be generous. Taxpayer wants to provide these services, but we want to provide them these services fairly. And of course, the other thing that we passed, and we've talked about this many times on the radio show, in terms of a big reform to our Medicaid, is the auditing of the Medicaid rolls. Again, there are stringent requirements to get on Medicaid, but the recertification to be in the program is a self-verification system, and so we wanted to change that to make sure that there wasn't abuse of the taxpayer dollars in the Medicaid system. So a couple of really good things that have been going on with Medicaid reform this year.
When does that take effect?
I believe that'll take effect November 1st, and they may be prepping already the mechanisms required to do the audit.
That would have been my guess, but I didn't want to guess. So,
yeah.
Senator.
Well,
just another comment on that. All the exemptions that are allowable under the SNAP program, which used to be the food stamp program,
right,
are also apply here. So if you were already exempt, you needn't fear that you're suddenly going to be called upon to leave the person you're caring for at home and go out and work at least 20 hours a week. And it's not just work. You can be in job training. Some volunteer things count. It's just to make sure that in return for the taxpayer's investment in your health care, you're making an investment back in either yourself or your community. Only about 8,000 people might come under the purview of this bill, but I want to reassure people who were calling me because they had an adult disabled child and they were the sole caregiver. That exemption still applies. Anything that's in the federal register that exempts you via SNAP would also exempt you here, because that's all we did, is we bought into the boundaries and the regulations under the SNAP program.
Which, of course, covered under the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution anyway. So, yeah.
Thank you for that.
Well,
Representative Sears has nothing else to say.
Well,
he must truly be checking out on us.
I would call it a conscious choice not to say it, but thank you, sir.
Yeah, that's great. So, but I think that's a really good update for now. And then we are, of course, available to people. Our offices are still open, even though we're not in session. So be sure to contact us. Our respective assistants will be able to get word to us if we need to get back to you. And, of course, I've widely publicized my telephone number in the district, 918-886-2615, TravisKDunlap@gmail.com. So feel free to reach out to us in any way if you have questions about these things. But a lot of things are still in the air awaiting the governor's signature. So this is our last radio show, but there's still news to follow.
Okay. Senator, I think you had one last word.
Oh, I was just going to say that they're restoring my part of the Capitol now, and I actually will not have a physical office in the building until February of next year.
Well,
all the phone numbers and emails work. I brought a lot of things home to Bartlesville, so we're going to be officing basically out of here, and our executive assistants will be in a hallway in the basement.
Wow.
And it's going to be, you know, it's all interesting times. If you were there, particularly during the teacher walkout, and you know that the construction of the building is... there's a false wall. Every time you walk in the building, they've done something different. So it's an adventure. But thank you, Charlie.
Thank
for another
you.
Great year.
Mr. Sears, last.
You know what? I do want to say one more quick comment because she brought up the construction at the Capitol. I want everyone to know that the refurbishing the people's house, the people's Capitol, and they're doing it in sections, and some of the sections are completed, and it's just beautiful. In fact, they start, I think, Monday or May the 21st, which I think is a Monday, is the tunnel that goes under, and then we're going to shut down Lincoln. The point I'm making is, in 2 years from now, when the Capitol is completed, people will need to want to take a journey to the Capitol to see that beautiful restored facility, which again is the state Capitol. I'm very, very pleased and proud of the work that they've done on the Capitol and spending the taxpayers' dollars.
You're
so,
on the oversight committee,
right, I'm on that committee. But I mean, it really is. It really is looking nice. So again, Charlie, thank you, and thank you to Phillips 66.
That's Capitol Call on a Friday morning.
At Phillips 66, we think Pride might look a lot like our newly upgraded stations. Okay, that's kind of a clunky metaphor, but we're not in the metaphor business.